Today at the Radio Backyard Fence, a program I think is going to help set some people free, set some hearts free. That's our hope. Our guest says, hiding inside every man is a little boy. For some, this kid is healthy and strong. For others, he's insecure, afraid, angry, and broken. This describes Patrick. He was a successful entrepreneur and businessman, but he was ignoring the pain of his childhood wounds, and he did that for decades. He believes millions of men are suffering silently and not breaking the cycle because they've never processed the pain of their father and mother wounds. Does that describe you today? Dr. Patrick Morley is straight ahead on today's Chris Fabry Live. Welcome to the continuing conversation. Thanks to our friends behind the scenes, Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Tricia is our producer. We're not live with you today. Our program is recorded. In fact, many of you, the rest of the week will be best of broadcasts. Enjoy those. I'll be back with you live next Monday. But let me pause before we begin and thank our friends and partners. This month, we've seen a number of new listeners reach out, people who have never given before, and that's really encouraging to us. And I think it might partly be because of the thank you we have for you this month. We had Glenna Marshall on the program last week, and she is so motivating for scripture memory. And this is not about scoring points with God. In fact, I read this morning that the point of hiding the word, this is from Glenna, the point is to meditate on who God is so that in understanding him, learning of him, that knowing changes us. And that's going to come into the conversation with Pat Morley today. Memorizing increases our affection for God to make our joy full. Let me send you a copy of this, Memorizing Scripture, the Basics, Blessings, and Benefits of Meditating on God's Word. Call 866-95-FABRY, and then press the number 2, and you can give a gift, 866-953-2279, or just go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, F-A-B-R-Y, chrisfabrylive.org, and thank you for being a friend or partner with us here during March. Patrick Morley, Ph.D., is founder of Man in the Mirror, a global ministry impacting thousands of churches, millions of men. Motivated by his own search for meaning and purpose, he started a Bible study in a bar with a handful of guys in 1986, a study that now reaches thousands of men around the world every week at patrickmorley.com. He's written 23 books, including The Man in the Mirror, which was named one of the 100 most influential Christian books of the 20th century. His new one comes out March 19th, and I know we're a little bit earlier for this, but you can pre-order it, and my guess is there are going to be a lot of men and women who will want to read From Broken Boy to Mended Man, A Positive Plan to Heal Your Childhood Wounds and Break the Cycle. Dr. Morley, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Chris, it's so good to hear your voice again. I've always loved being with you.
Same here. And I mentioned to my wife, Andrea, because you are on the Midday Connection program a lot of times.
I knew Andrea before I knew you.
How's he doing? Well, I knew you because of a golf outing. We had a Wednesday meeting. We'd play golf one Wednesday. The next Wednesday, we would do Man in the Mirror study, and then we'd play golf. And so I got to know these fellows whole lot better because of that book, and I got to know you a whole lot better too. But I did not know this brokenness that you have written about. Why did you choose to write about this?
Oh, well, first of all, I didn't want to write about it. here's the thing. I think a good place to enter the story. When I was 53 years of age, my mother died and I didn't feel anything. I wasn't sad. I didn't cry. I didn't miss her. I thought that was pretty odd. And so I went to see a counselor, and she helped me to put into words the childhood wounds that I had never been able to articulate. And truth of the matter is, I mean, I didn't really even understand much about childhood wounds at that point. Now, I've been studying this for a couple of additional decades. About 7 years ago, 6 years before I actually wrote the book, I really sensed that, first of all, a lot of lasting and beautiful changes had taken place in my life. And I was so much more free, so much more joyful, so much more at peace with myself and with everybody around me. And I had the feeling that it was selfish to not share that, because that's what I do. I mean, I'm a communicator. But I didn't want to throw my parents under the bus either, because honestly, even though I grew up in a dysfunctional home, my parents were actually very nice people. And after I became a follower of Jesus at the age of 25, that began a journey that did lead to stages of healing and reconciliation, piecemeal, that I think men could actually go through in a much shorter time. For me, my reconciliation with my parents started when I was 35 years of age, but it didn't really come full circle for 18 more years. And so I've written a book that I think can really be helpful to those men who are sitting on a volcano of anger and don't know why, or maybe they're pouting, or maybe they're blowing up at the wrong times with the wrong people, and they just don't understand why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay, that's what I want to get into, because first of all, at 53, to go to a counselor and ask that question and to be that vulnerable takes some oomph from the inside. But you say, what is your starting point today? Is it passivity, resignation, addiction, rage, a critical spirit, poor self-esteem, denial, a lack of confidence? Are you oversensitive to criticism? Are you lashing out when criticism comes? Do you get moody and withdraw? So for the man listening today who says, boy, I don't need this because when my mom died, I fell apart, that's not the point. For you, there were abandonment issues that you felt with your mom and your dad, so that when she died and you didn't feel anything, that was a clue that there was something deeper going on, right?
Yes, exactly. So if you're listening to this broadcast and you are able to say, when you think about your parents, my parents were affirming or my parents were encouraging, then you had a positive parenting experience. But there are seven other possibilities that you might be able to say. You might, for example, say, well, you know, my parents were passive. They were just not that engaged with me. My parents were absent. Either they worked too much, or maybe through death, divorce, mental illness, or addiction or something else, they weren't in the picture. Or third, my parents were permissive. My wife, when we were dating, she said, you know, I think your parents gave you too much say. Hmm. And she was so right. Or my parents were enabling. You know, maybe your parents didn't require you to do the things that you could and should have done for yourself, or maybe didn't hold you responsible when you didn't do what you should, or demanding or angry or belittling, actively, you know, making jokes at your expense and running you down. So these seven different parenting styles, if you say one of those things, then you probably grew up in a dysfunctional home. Even if your parents were nice like mine, or maybe you know your home was dysfunctional because your parents were, you know, maybe they were just mean, or maybe they were even toxic or abusive to you. But whatever the case, there's one well-respected expert estimates that 70-80% of all American homes are dysfunctional. Wow.
Yeah. So you are rubbing shoulders with men who are, like Patrick says, broken. So what does that mean? We're going to talk about that in our next segment. From Broken Boy to Mended Man is our featured resource. It comes out on the 19th, but you can pre-order it. A Positive Plan to Heal Your Childhood Wounds and Break the Cycle is the subtitle of Patrick Morley's book. This is Chris Fabry Live. You can find out more about that at chrisfabrylive.org. Thanks for joining us today at the Radio Backyard Fence. This is Chris Fabry live. We're not with you live today. Don't call us. But I'm spending a little bit of time with kind of a hero of mine because he wrote a book years and years ago that really made a difference in my life. And his 24th is out now, titled From Broken Boy to Mended Man. Dr. Patrick Morley is with us. You can find out more about him. Link to his website. See the book right there at chrisfabrylive.org. Define broken. What do you mean broken?
Well, it's interesting because in the front of the book, I actually just put the definition of broken and also the definition of mended as well. But there's something that is not working. You're angry, you don't know why, or you have dramatic mood swings and you can't explain it. You're not sure. You have a hard time believing that people really care about you, which is one of my big ones. So I developed these 9 characteristics. You know, the AA has their list, adult children of alcoholics, they have their list. So I'm calling all of us who are in this group together the Fraternal Order of Broken Boys. And so I felt like we needed our own list. And so I came up with these 9 characteristics through a lot of research and personal experience as well. But number one is you just have a hard time believing that people really care about you. And this goes to Eric Erickson's trust distrust is kind of like the first task of childhood. And guys, if you're listening, I don't know if you can relate to this. I have no recollection of ever hearing the words growing up, no recollection ever of hearing the words, I love you, I'm proud of you, I believe in you, you can do something with your life, here's what life is all about, here's how you can know God. Here might be some educational opportunities you could think about going after. Here's what different kinds of vocations you might be good at. Sex education. I mean, really nothing. Now, I'm not so naive, Chris, to think that those things were never said, but it is still significant that even to this day, I have no recollection of hearing those things. And so, that would be the way that I'm broken. I'm broken. I'll tell a story. When I was about 10 years old, I was playing Little League baseball. I put my uniform on, and my parents asked if they could come to the game. And apparently, they didn't go to my games. And I begged them and pleaded with them not to come to my game until I was in tears. And finally, they relented and said, okay, we won't go to your game. And then I threaded my baseball glove over my handlebars and cried for the 8-minute bicycle ride to the baseball field because they were not coming. So I told that story, I think it's a signature story of my childhood. I told that story to my counselor. She said, well, what do you think is going on there? And I said, I have no idea. That's why I'm here. You tell me. And she said, she pressed me. And I said, no, I really don't know. You're going to have to tell me. She told this story. She said there was a pastor who had a son named Noah. And he invited Noah to go fishing with him the next morning. That evening, Noah bounded around the house and was so happy. And the next morning, they were getting ready and the phone rang. The pastor answered the phone. He said, yes, yes, I understand. And then he rushed out the door. That evening, they were having dinner, and the little boy was moping around the dinner table, and his wife said to him, he said, did you know that you were supposed to take Noah fishing this morning and that you forgot? And he was mortified. He apologized. He said, oh, no, I am so sorry. I can't believe I did that. I'm so sorry. I'm going to make that up to you. And Noah said, that's okay. I don't like fishing anyway. And my counselor said, well, what do you think was going on there? And I said, I think I'm starting to get the picture. And so the idea is that a little boy can't handle the thought that my dad doesn't really want to be with me. And so he substitutes the idea, I don't like fishing. And so apparently at a very young age, I made some kind of a vow. If my parents aren't interested in me, then I'm not going to be interested in them either. And so, did I want them at my game cheering shamelessly? You bet. but I leaned on them the other way out of this hurt that I apparently was experiencing. And so some guys might be able to relate to that story. I hope so.
I read that and I thought, you're trying to protect yourself from more pain. You've already had all the pain that you can handle in that little 10-year-old heart of yours. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to keep that distance because you could get even more injured. And so if that's what you learn at 10 years old, then at 20 and 30 and 40, you make your whole life about avoiding the pain, right?
Yeah. And so I want to say to the guys that are listening and the women too, especially, you know, if you've got a husband and he's unpredictable, or if you're that guy and you're unpredictable or you can't, maybe you're oversensitive. Another characteristic is you're oversensitive and frequently misread what people intend. That's the second characteristic. And so, you can change your life. You can change your life in Christ, and it doesn't have to take. It took me 18 years from the time at 35 when I became intentional. Okay, so one thing I haven't said is I quit high school in the middle of my senior year. My next brother followed in my footsteps, and then he eventually died of a heroin overdose. And my two youngest brothers have had more than their fair share of problems. So you can, you would realize there's a long story behind that, right?
Yes.
My dad was abandoned when he was 2 years of age. He was the youngest of four children. So he had never felt the scratch of a father's whiskers. He had never heard a dad read him a bedtime story. He had never tossed a ball in the backyard. My father never had his hair tussled or wrestled on the living room floor with his dad. And so it's kind of hard to give what you don't have. But he grew up and he didn't really understand how to be a man, how to be a husband, how to be a father. And I'm grateful that he stayed in the family. But net is that regardless of what the intentions were, the result is the same, in that we did have a dysfunctional family. And it kind of fell apart on him when we hit our teen years. And he would take responsibility for that today if he were alive, and I honor him and respect him for that. But the bottom line is that we were a dysfunctional family. So there's that.
Yeah. Fast forward though to the Thanksgiving when you came back and you're having a meal and he starts to pray.
So this is probably the beginning point of reconciliation. I became a follower of Jesus through my wife and at the age of 24. When I was 25 years of age, and I was estranged from my parents. If it wasn't for my wife, I doubt we would have had any contact at all. But we were doing Christmas, Easter, and Labor Day picnic. But when I was 25 years of age, we went to my parents' house for Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm the oldest of four boys, and my next brother, the one that died of the drug overdose, he had been off to war, and after a couple of years, he was back home. And this, so our family had not been together at that point for maybe 3 or 4 years even. So we're that family that grew up, maybe guys, you can relate to this, we're that family where, yeah, we said grace before meals, but we said it like this, as fast as could be said, God is good, God is great, and we thank you for this food. Amen. on this particular Thanksgiving, Chris, my dad said, I'd like to pray today. And he started out, "Dear Lord, Mom and I would just like to say thank you." And that's about as far as he got. And he started blubbering, and he excused himself and went into his bedroom, and I followed him in there, and I said, Dad, what's wrong? Are you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm okay. He said, it's just your mother and I never thought that we would ever see our four boys together again. And something changed in me that day. It was like a switch got flipped. My heart softened, and I saw my dad's humanity, and I felt what he was feeling. And I unilaterally forgave my father. I didn't even know what a childhood wound was at that point, but I unilaterally forgave my father for all the anger that I had toward them. But we remained estranged for another 10 years. And what I'm saying to the guys on the program today is that, you can get to that point and then you can get all the way home. So it took me another 28 years to have fully worked out all the things I explained in this book. By the way, most of my books, I'm on these podcasts and programs, and what I do is I give you enough of the book. So honestly, you really don't have to buy the book to understand it. You can kind of get the main idea. And I feel like that's a form of ministry. This is not that book. You have to go through the process of identifying and understanding what happened to you, a biblical healing process that's been around for thousands of years, and then know how you can break the cycle for the next generation. And that's why I've got all kinds of exercises and reflections for you to do in the book, but you're going to have to read the book in this particular case.
Well, and go through the different, answer the questions at the end of each chapter. Those are really, really helpful. It's called From Broken Boy to Mended Man. We have a link at the website. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org and click through today's information. You'll see it right there. By Patrick Morley, if you are in that fraternal order of broken boys, I think, as I said at the beginning, I think this is going to set somebody free who's listening here today, and maybe that person is you. But maybe the person is the wife of the broken boy who is a man, and she can see this when he can't. And my guess is that your wife looked at your life for a long time, even after you had come to Jesus, and saw some of the residue of the brokenness leaking through. So what do you say? And that can be a problem too, because the wife can think, oh, I've got to get this book to fix him or get it to him to fix him. And it's not about fixing, because it is a process. So what do you say to the wife who's listening, who says, I get everything you're saying, Patrick?
Yeah. So a few things I would say, if you are a woman and you're listening and this issue, having dramatic mood swings and not knowing where they're coming from, or, desire to be a little, be too prickly, and overreact, all these different kinds of things. If that's what the man in your life, your husband, your boyfriend, fiance, whatever is like, then I would say go ahead and read the book for yourself to understand it. But then don't give the book, listen carefully to what I say here. Don't give the book at your husband. You get me? You feel me? Don't give it at him. But you might be able to say something like, I read this book, and I think it was very illuminating, and I think you'd enjoy it. And then kind of just leave it at that, and then pray. Prayer moves mountains, and labor can move mountains too, but it takes a lot longer. The Spirit of God can do in an instant, what it might take years of coaxing and trying to persuade someone to take action. So ultimately, this has to be driven by the Holy Spirit. The timing has to be right, and you can't manufacture that, but we can plead with God to make it happen soon. Make sense?
It makes an awful lot of sense, and I thank you for saying that, because I think that's, we have a lot of wives who are listening to this program, and they are asking those really hard questions. So let me give you the information again. From Broken Boy to Mended Man is our featured resource at chrisfabrylive.org. The subtitle is A Positive Plan to Heal Your Childhood Wounds and Break the Cycle. If you feel like you're in this fraternal order of broken boys and you have these things, as I'm going through it, Patrick, I'm seeing stuff in my own life and I can pin, and I've been doing this a long time. I've been thinking about this stuff a long time, but there are new things that have come up to me or for me. And I want to bring that to you in our next segment. So we'll take a quick break, come back. We're not live with you today. Don't call us. But if you go to the website, you can find out more about Patrick Morley and the book, From Broken Boy to Mended Man. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. Dr. Patrick Morley is our guest at the Radio Backyard Fence. Our program is recorded, and the book comes out that we're talking about in March 19th, From Broken Boy to Mended Man. And my guess is if we could open the phone lines right now, there would be a flood of calls from the men who are seeing themselves, but also the women who see the men in their lives as these broken boys and the struggles that they have. So here's what I want to do. Your issue, Patrick, was abandonment. You felt like your parents didn't give you really what you needed as you look back on it. And this is not about tossing them away or hurting their memory. You even said, I honor the memory of my dad. But I have had this thing in my life that kind of mirrors what you're talking about. So let me ask you this first before I talk about me.
Well, I want to hear your story. Now you have me totally interested in your story.
You'll do it. The abandonment issue that you had, what did that lead you to become, or how did you live out that abandonment later in your life? What did it lead you to?
Well, first of all, complete despair. I went through periods of sadness that I now realize would be technically clinical depression. I was in the Army. When I quit high school, I joined the Army. Actually, my dad drove me down to the enlistment office. He had been having these headaches, and he was planning to get his glasses prescription changed. But when he dropped me off at the enlistment office, his headaches went away, so he didn't need to get the new glasses. So I was a handful at that point. I was pretty out of control. I'd skipped all or part of 73 days in my junior year, and then quit in the middle of my senior year. So I was pretty out of control. So I was just very, very angry, had a chip on my shoulder. Very distrustful. And so, and I'm a naturally trusting kind of a person. The fact is that I automatically trust people until they give me a reason to not trust them. And then here's the problem. I write them off completely. Now, I don't do that anymore, and I haven't done that for a couple of decades, but my tendency in business, and I built a pretty big company, my tendency was that you have my full trust and confidence, but if you betray that, then we're done. And that's a vow that I apparently took as a youth. If you don't need me anymore, then I'm done with you. Or if so that would be one major way. But I also, and guys, it hurts me to tell you this story, but it would hurt me and perhaps even you more not to tell you this story. One way that illustrates how my brokenness came out was in my marriage to my new wife. So, guys, you know this is true when you have all this pent-up frustration and or anger from your work. You don't put it on display there because of loss of reputation or perhaps even risk to your employment itself. You come home that way, and then your wife does some little thing that's and you explode all out of proportion to whatever little minor offense it was. And so one day I was all pent up, and this was actually before work, and I was ranting and raving in the kitchen, pacing back and forth. my wife was sitting there, and but I was basically taking everything out on her. And I looked over, she had these large tears rolling down her face, and I was transfixed. I couldn't look away. After what seemed like a brief eternity, she asked me this question. She said, "Pat, is there anything about me that you like?" Well, I felt like I'd been tasered. So I wandered off to the office and spent the rest of the morning looking out the window and thinking to myself, you know, Morty, you really are just a nobody headed nowhere. And it was really true. And that was that's a very good illustration of how the brokenness was manifesting itself in my life. But now I want to hear your story.
Well, I want to add one thing to that. The self-sufficiency that you needed, you ended up on a self-made man, and that's what your counselor said to you. A physically or emotionally abandoned child will become either self-sufficient or stymied in life because they feel something is wrong with them. And so you overcompensated, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the 9 characteristics of broken boys that our readers will find in the book. And that is that you are either the responsible son or especially immature for your age. And it does seem, and research bears this out, that broken boys really take one of two paths. They become this like super responsible, dependable, always count on me. I'm the protector of the family. I'm the leader. I'm the one you count on when the chips are down. Or you become this very immature person who is very irresponsible, who can't hold a job or doesn't want to hold a job. And it's interesting how that works out. But what we're talking about is going to extremes, yes.
Okay, so it was 25 years ago that I made a decision to work full-time freelance because I was doing the radio thing that I still do and doing the writing thing. And there was so much that was going on there that to have a full-time job, it didn't make sense anymore. And so I was going to go out on my own and see what would happen with that. And I hadn't told either of my parents. They were living, this was in 1999. So I hadn't told either of them of my decision. And finally I got the nerve up, and it was really hard to say, okay, here's what's going on and here's what I'm planning to do. And this is where I'm going, you know, with my employment. Now, do you have to know that my father he's a part-time farmer, but he worked at a chemical plant for 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. So he invested in one place that he worked, and that was it, and paid all of his bills and was and grew up in the Depression. You know, we had all of the canned foods, the green beans and everything down in the cellar because, you know, that might happen again. So I tell him the story, you know, that here's what I'm going to do. And there's this long pause. And what I'm hoping for is, hey, you're going to fly. You're going to do great. We believe it, you know, all that. And there was this long pause. And my dad said, usually it was my mom that said anything. You know, she would always pretty much dominate the conversation. But my dad took a breath and he said, well, they're laying people off up at the nickel plant.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And that was, you know, I knew, see, here's the other thing could happen. You can explain that away. Yeah. And you can say, well, you know, he grew up in the Depression and it didn't know anything else, but the one company is like, and it was scary to him to, you know, all of that. And I understand that. And again, I honor him like you do your dad. Yeah. But what that did to me was, you don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do this. You're going to have to get a job here when this whole thing falls through. And so that created in me the scarcity mindset that when anything, I was just yesterday, Pat, my wife and I were driving to a thing and the car engine, you know, the engine light comes on and I had to turn around, you know, we're like just a few miles from home and we limp home in this automobile, but I'm immediately thinking, how much is it going to cost? What's this going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that scarcity mindset has just grabbed a hold of me, and I can see it not only holding me back, but then leaking over into the people that I care about.
Wow. So, Chris, thank you for sharing that. That means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to your listeners, too, because they're with you every day, right? I think that the arc of this book, if you will, it's three parts. And the first part is what happened to me as a kid. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I was just a kid. How am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know that my parents are supposed to protect me? How am I supposed to know that my parents are supposed to speak words of affirmation and love into my life? How am I didn't miss it at the time because I didn't know that was what was normal. And what you're talking about, words that are deflating and take the air out of the balloon. So if you're listening, if you're trying to solve the wrong problem, you can only succeed by accident. So I'm a solutions guy, but in part one we of this book, we do need to take the time to understand what really happened to you as a child, to unravel that. A problem properly understood is at least half solved, so the saying goes. And so part one is to really help you understand that. And so if you were Chris reading the book, or you heard my story and you're reading the book, you would be able to begin to see some patterns and draw some connections that would be very helpful. The second part of the book then is getting on to the solution. It's this healing process that's been around for centuries. I'm gonna walk you through a healing process so you can process all of these different thoughts and wounds. And actually, exercises, you have a chance to literally write those things down and to think about them. And I'll show you some things that I wrote down so you can have some examples. And then the third part of the book is breaking the cycle for your own life going forward, marriage, children, if you have that, friends, and also other men that you might have in your life that you realize after reading the book are probably struggling with some childhood wounds, unresolved childhood wounds too. So again, thank you for sharing that, Chris. And that's exactly the kind of thing that I'm interested in helping men with.
It really is freeing and life-giving. It's titled From Broken Boy to Mended Man by Patrick Morley. We have a link right there at chrisfabrylive.org. It comes out in a few days, March 19th, but you can see it at chrisfabrylive.org. One of the things that Patrick mentions is the art of kintsugi, and we'll talk about that straight ahead on Moody Radio. This is Chris Fabry live on Moody Radio. When I heard about the devotional CareNet came up with, I said, that's it. That's it. I need that. Signed up for it. And guess what? You can too. I've been telling you about their ministry. CareNet is around the country in something like 1,200 pregnancy resource centers. They've saved babies' lives. They've helped change the lives of a lot of men and women. And one of the free resources they're offering right now is a 40-day devotional inspired by the stories from the front lines of the work to save unborn lives. It's called A Lifeline of Hope. It compiles these remarkable testimonies from CareNet's Pregnancy Decision Line, which is a great ministry. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org. You can see that free resource, A Lifeline of Hope. Hope you'll download that. And part of the response then is you read the stories and then you begin to pray for the people who are behind the scenes doing that work. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org and click the green CareNet button today. Dr. Patrick Morley is with us. From Broken Boy to Mended Man is our featured resource. It comes out in, March 19th. You do the math. I've mentioned kintsugi because I've heard this from several different authors, and it's this idea of having something that is broken mended with gold lacquer, and it becomes even more beautiful in the midst of its brokenness. That's kind of what you're trying to lead us through, isn't it, Patrick?
Yes. So one of the chapters deals with what's the joy of walking with a limp. That's the name of the chapter. So if you get involved with me and we go through this book together, and it would be an experience for you. It's not just an intellectual read. You're going to find yourself liberated. You're going to find yourself experiencing freedom that you had never felt before, because you're going to have new knowledge. And in the process of all that, you're going to go through this process of healing. And when you finally get to the point where you get out of denial and face the truth, the next step in this process is grieving. And so you are going to grieve, and then you're going to go through a few other steps of forgiving. But here's the thing, is that the pain of some of these things will get better, but some of them will rear their ugly heads again, kind of like whack-a-mole. But what I discovered is that talking about this and being personally vulnerable, not trying to pretend I don't have cracks, but rather literally drawing attention to them, has really helped me heal and continues to help me heal. And that's what Kintsugi is all about. It's using gold to repair the cracks, but in actually drawing attention to the imperfections,
yes,
instead of concealing them. So,
well, in that sense, the wound becomes the ministry. And I've seen it so many times.
Oh,
the
yeah.
wound of your childhood has set others free because you are courageous enough to walk through it. So why do this then? Why go through the pain of bringing all that up back there? I can hear some guy saying, I don't want to bring all that up. You just got to move forward, forget what's past. Why do this?
Yeah, I can hear the man saying that as well. And I feel the desire to, you know, avoid pain, right? Here's the question for you. If you look down the road 5 or 10 years, is there anything that you're doing now that's going to change the way you are then? Do you really want to stay the same way for the next 5, 10, or even more years? If you are hearing this broadcast, wouldn't it make sense to say that perhaps God has sovereignly orchestrated you to hear this broadcast, or your spouse to hear this broadcast? Because God has something more for you than wondering if people really care about you or not, or being oversensitive and often misreading what people intend, or being easily angered, or being oversensitive, or not really knowing what healthy male behavior actually looks like. Those are some of the characteristics. I've been through this process, and I want to share with you what I've learned so that you don't have to go through it, or you can certainly accelerate the process of healing for yourself. So that's the big question, and that's the big why.
So there really is hope. There really is healing. For the guy who's listening today, and it's like, every time this thing happens, I get angry, whether at work or at home, you know, all of these things that are leaking through in my life. You're saying there is and God is a part of that too. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say this. This book can be helpful to you regardless of your beliefs about God. I've written it in that way. However, I've also written it for people who have a faith that they can maximize what God has for them at the same time.
Talk to the wife before we end here, Patrick, who says, I don't see any change, and he's not interested in looking at any of this stuff. You've already told her, you know, go through the book yourself and work through it yourself. But what would you say to her?
Well, cling to hope. You know, you're one decision away, or your husband is one decision away from the freedom that comes from being fully alive in Jesus. No man fails on purpose, but neither does any man succeed by accident. And so he's just your husband, your man. He's just one decision away from understanding who it is that God created him to be, and then becoming fully alive in Jesus, my vision for the book is to help as many men as possible heal their childhood wounds, break the cycle, and in the process, become devoted or more devoted followers of Jesus. It's the most personal book I've written, you know, of the 23 that I've written. It really is hitting a nerve. And I heard a man got an advanced copy of the book, A Men's Leader, and he's a counselor. And he said that for the first time, somebody understands what I've been going through.
Yes.
Another guy read the book and he said, I need to go get counseling. You know, so, you know, don't know what's going to happen exactly, but I do know this. Will you be better off 10 years from now if you just keep doing what you've been doing? Probably not.
You know what I see here, Patrick, is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you know, he was fully alive. And when he came out, though, he wasn't unwrapped. You know, there were people who had to unwrap the grave clothes from him. And I think you're one of those people. For a lot of men, you've been that for me, and I want to thank you for that. But you're one of those people who helps unwrap us so that we experience the fullness of the freedom and the abundant life that Jesus wants for us. From broken boy to mended man, a positive plan to heal your childhood wounds and break the cycle. It's our featured resource. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. Patrick Morley, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Chris, and to all the men and women who have listened today. I pray that God would give you the desires of your heart.
Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.